Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Joining us now on the SDCCU fan hotline is AJ Casavall, MLB.com. AJ, I've been seeing a lot of you in the last couple of days, man. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to be on with you guys. Yeah, I've been kind of all over the place.
You have. You did, by the way, you did a terrific job on TV yesterday. That was pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really? Yeah. How did that go? What did they have you on? Were you the special analyst on TV?
I was on pregame with with him and Mike. So it was a good time. Yeah?
Yeah. And they treated you all right?
Yeah, we treated him all right. we gave him a little airtime, all that. But we're bringing him on really for the same reason we had him on yesterday. You wrote a tremendous article on MLB.com.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying this because I'm biased. It was a good article in general. The videos that went with it really put it over the top. But you wrote this possibly the last attempt at 400 that my dad had in 94. First, tell us, what made you decide to write about that?
Well, the 25 years thing was interesting to me. Plus, it's a bit of history that I've always been intrigued by, and kind of the fact that it isn't ever going to happen again, I don't think so. And
either.
So I wanted to kind of address kind of where baseball stood in 1994 and the fact that Tony Sr. had a really pretty good chance of getting there, and if anyone could have done it, it was him. And then eventually you kind of get to this point where the game's changed, and it's more geared towards slugging and on base percentage, and it's more geared toward it's geared against average, and pitchers are so much better now, and they're used more optimally, I think, where it's just not going to happen. And so it seemed like a kind of time to dig into it and to research it, and we ran it last week because that was the last time. It was to the 25 year anniversary of the last time he was above 400 that season, and he basically spent one of the things that stood out to me about it, because I didn't know a ton about it going in. I knew the basics, but it wasn't. You see these 400 chases or these batting average chases, and usually the guy's at 370, 380, and then they spend the rest of the year kind of dipping because baseball's a hard sport. It's a long season. This was kind of the opposite. He got down to around like 380, and then basically spent the whole rest of the season attacking 400, kind of climbing. And it's really hard to climb when you get to 380. That stood out to me. Yeah. Looking at. Like late July, a 4-for-6 in a doubleheader, and he goes from 384 to 386, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. 2 points.
It wasn't easy. Just so everybody remembers, obviously, the Tony Gwynn Jr. hit, or Tony Gwynn Sr.
I wish
we could do it, too.
I wouldn't be sitting here.
Tony Gwynn hit 394 in 1994. Not everybody remembers 100% that it was the baseball strike that interrupted his chase for it, and that's why it stayed at 394. A.J. Casavell is with us. Tell us a couple of more things, if you don't mind, just things that surprised you when you went back and delved into the history of this, or things that kind of caught your attention, because the story was full of great stuff like that.
Yeah, so my favorite thing was talking to guys who pitched to him. Oral Hershiser was one of them, and I mean, I love talking to you too, but one of the more interesting parts was the guys who pitched to him, and basically, like, kind of to a man, they hated pitching to him, but they loved pitching to him. I mean, it was like, because when you're facing greatness, it's what better challenge is there? But also, you can't get him out. And so, I think in the process of writing it, one of the coolest parts for me was getting these video clips sent to me from my editors in New York. I'd say, hey, this was a cool story I heard. This is a cool story I heard. Can we get a video of it? Can you send it along? There was a 5-for-5 he had in Philadelphia where, the coolest part about it was every single hit, it was like curveball low and away, flicks it to left field, fastball high and in, he takes it out to center. One, there's one down the middle, he hits it right back up the middle. And so it's not like there's no way to pitch to him, and that's basically what the pitchers told me. They said, like, why waste 4 or 5 pitches if you're just going to give up a hit? Just kind of throw it down the middle and see what he can do with it, you know? So I enjoyed talking about that. And I also enjoyed kind of the what-if aspect of it, because I think probability-wise, if you look at like kind of basic probability, the chances were low. But if you talk to the people who were around him and who saw the way he was hitting that season, they're all pretty convinced that maybe not that it definitely would have happened, but that there would have been a serious, serious push come September down the stretch.
Yeah,
AJ, we were talking about the last attempt at hitting 400. You've talked about some of the changes in the game. But what are the major reasons, you know, for the casual baseball fan out there for why, you know, hitting 400 again is in doubt?
Well, I think the last guy who really had a chance was probably Ichiro. He's that kind of singles hitter. That guy doesn't exist anymore in terms of just the way he can the singles hitter. I mean, the game is so skewed now toward power and toward on-base percentage, and I don't know necessarily that that's a bad thing. I think there are maybe aspects of it that I'd like to see change. I'd like to see a little more contact and a little more action on the field, but the idea that teams are trying to gain an advantage by working counts, reaching base, and hitting home runs, that goes in line with trying to win baseball games. So I don't have a problem with that, but it just says that 400 probably isn't on the table anymore. The other, I think, biggest thing to me is back then, pitchers were pitching into this seventh, eighth inning, and they're facing guys four times. And the third or fourth time you see a guy, chances are you're going to get a feel for him, and you're going to get a hit in those last couple at-bats. Nowadays,
at least you've got a better chance.
Yeah, you have a better chance. And nowadays you still get that with certain guys, but you're getting it with Justin Verlander.
Like the elites
of the game. You're getting with the elites. If you're facing, I mean, you look at what the Padres have. They're not necessarily letting Nick Margavichus or Eric Lauer go through the lineup a third or a fourth time. I think 25 years ago you were seeing that, and then you were seeing kind of games decided in the sixth, seventh innings. Now you get matchups, you get not that necessarily it's hard to match up with certain hitters who are really good, but right. Hitting 400 is really hard, or hitting at a high clip is really hard. And so I think if you look at the batting champs the last 10 years, there's no one above 350 even.
In your opinion, just a real quick follow-up, Does a team need eight guys that slug on base and work counts? I mean, is there a place for a singles hitter in this game in a lineup?
I think so. I mean, if you're hitting 350, that means your on base percentage is above 350.
Right.
So, I am firmly on the train of on base over batting average, but batting average is part of on base percentage. It's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
So. I think there is a place for that, and I think there's a place for guys at the top of an order who can set the table and reach base and make things happen, kind of create things, especially probably a little more so in the American League when the nine hitter's on base a little more often. Yes, I think there's absolutely a place, and I also understand why the game has kind of gone where it has gone.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com, SDCCU fan hotline. Couple of notes here. Number one, you can catch his article on MLB.com. It was written last week, but the good thing about the internet, you can go back and find it and read it. And if you're any kind of Padre fan or just baseball fan, highly recommend that you go back and find and read this article. You'll really enjoy it. Number two, AJ is going to actually be on our airwaves hosting, I understand.
Yeah,
this Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. I will
sorry,
not be in Toronto.
Sorry, I'm not available. I'd offer to be on the show, but no, I'm just kidding. That'll be fun. That'll be great to have you on our air Thursday and Friday morning. So you'll get to hear a little bit more of AJ Cassavell. Let's talk a little bit about this Padre just slump, if you want to call it whatever. Right now, I mean, you're hanging around this clubhouse. 6 out of 7 isn't the end of the world, but falling under 500 is certainly it's an occasion. Let's just put it that way. How have they reacted here over the last few days, and how do you think they're going to react over the next week or so?
Yeah, that's what's intriguing to me. It feels like the season's kind of at a little bit of a turning point right now. And the last time they dropped down to 500, they reeled off, I think, 5 out of 6 or whatever it was. And so I don't know that the Padres being 23 and 24 is surprising in any way. That seems about coming into the season. If you had said that, that's probably I would have nodded my head and said, yeah, that's probably the team they are. The way they've gotten here with this kind of slump in the last week is a little bit, it has to be concerning, because the pitching hasn't been there. We thought it might fall off a little bit, but we also thought the offense might see an uptick from what it started in early in the season, and it's gotten contributions from 3 or 4 guys, but the other 4 guys haven't done much. So, how do they respond? I think I don't know the answer to that. And I think this is a really fun series, not only because it's a division rival coming to town, but maybe more so because we kind of get to see what these guys are made of and how they punch back from a little bit of adversity.
AJ, we're talking about the slump that the Padres are in right now. What's been your biggest takeaways from this last week and a half, where they've kind of hit like a lull, and in the last few games have kind of dipped down a little bit?
I think they really miss Fernando Tatis, okay. And that's obvious. That's not anything earth shattering. But you add him at the top of that lineup, and it makes the whole entire lineup better. They've gotten the pitching, the kind of rut they've hit a couple guys. I think all of that was kind of to be expected.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Nick Margavichus was going to kind of sustain what he was doing in April. I don't know whether Cal Quantrill is going to be kind of a breakout rookie. Like these guys have serious question marks to tell them. The offense, on the other hand, there's guys that you'd expect to be pretty good that aren't, or at least guys like Will Myers has really fallen into a slump, and Austin Hedges has fallen into a slump by his standards. I don't think you need to ask for much out of Austin Hedges offensively, but you need to ask for more than what you're getting right now. And so to me, that's been the biggest takeaway, is there's no help for the three guys that are performing well on a nightly basis. Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, who I don't think has been Manny Machado yet, but he's still been good recently, and Franmil Reyes. All three of them have been very good, and then you're just not getting a whole lot of help everywhere. Every now and then you'll get something from Hunter Renfro, but it hasn't been
consistent.
It hasn't been consistent, and you're not going to win games. I mean, the most interesting part of this kind of losing skid was going to Los Angeles last week and kind of seeing. The Dodgers are the gold standard of the National League. They've won it a couple years in a row. That lineup is eight guys deep, and then they can bring a guy off the bench and he'll hit in the nine spot. This lineup right now is three guys deep, and when they get Tatis back, that helps, but they're still. Our questions. So, going forward, I think I don't know how these things get solved. That's above my pay grade. That's AJ's job. That's AJ Preller's job. The other AJ. But I think I think we'll kind of find out what they do in the next, what they do to address that in the next week or so.
Yeah, it's certainly the first big hill that the Padres have to climb over here, I think, in 2019. AJ Cassavell doing a great job covering these guys on MLB.com and. Last thing, just real quick, did Cody Bellinger get back to you about the 400 article? Because he's over 400 right now for the Dodgers. I know it's in May, but
May 20th. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, but he hasn't chimed in on that yet.
No, and it's interesting because when you look at guys who are over 400 early in the season, like it happens pretty frequently.
Yeah,
and it's hard to maintain. You just don't maintain it. Paul O'Neill, you brought it up the other day. Paul O'Neill was hitting 410, 411 in that 94 season in June, and then he finished at around 360, I think. And that's in a span of a month and a half. So
it's still a great season.
AJ, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on, dropping your knowledge. Terrific article you wrote again on MLB.com. Again, that's AJ Cassavall, MLB.com, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Earn 2.5% APY on a 16-month certificate from SDCCU. Get the amazing rate and start saving at any of the SDCCU's 43 Southern California branch locations today. APY equals annual percentage yield. For details, visit SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.